So as I've said, Billy was due to be speaking this morning, but he got in touch with me on the weekend to say that he wasn't well, and he probably wouldn't be here. Then he confirmed it last night to say, yesterday afternoon, to say that he wasn't well enough to come. And so I'll continue, because a couple of weeks ago I was talking about the grace of God and time ran out. And so I'll continue on that theme this morning, on the grace of God. And I'm going to read some verses from Ephesians chapter 2. They're well-known verses that we know so very well, just Ephesians 2 and through to verse 1 to 10. I'm using the English Standard Version. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. By grace you have been saved. I'll just recap a couple of thoughts from the last time that I was sharing this. And I said that we use the word amazing grace, and it is amazing grace. As we consider the love of God towards each one of us, some of us maybe would feel that we haven't gone very far in sin, compared to others that have been steeped in the depravity of sinful nature. And yet we were all sinners. We all need saving, and God came with his amazing grace and he saved us. And as I was contemplating the amazing grace of God, the two thoughts that I said was this, that I just were amazed at the magnitude and of the magnificence of God's grace. It's magnificent, it's big, it's abounding, but also it's magnificent as well. It's almost like something that is almost too magnificent for us to be able to comprehend. And what grace? And then I mentioned there that grace is amazing, yes, but grace is also abundant. It's not limited to one or two or three or four or a few hundred or a particular race or a particular color of skin. Grace is amazing, and it is abundant, and it is abounding. God's grace. And then I said that grace is also Jesus himself. And grace is the action or the work of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. I mentioned as well, you might remember that we've probably all heard of the phrase of opening up a can of worms. And you know what that means? Be careful what you open up. You're going to open up a can of worms. And I said that that's what Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden. When they took that fruit that they were forbidden to take, and they partook of it, they opened up a can of worms. But thank God that when it comes to grace and when it comes to the cross, that God has opened up a chest full of treasures. And when we come to accept Jesus as our Savior and Lord, we receive of those treasures that God has made available to us. One of those verses, and I've used it a lot since I've been here, is in Ephesians 1 verse 3 that says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. In other words, it is in Christ that the treasure box of God's grace has been opened. and he blesses us and blesses us with spiritual blessing after spiritual blessing, so much so that if we were trying to count them, we would never be able to count the riches of his grace and the riches of his blessing towards us who have come to believe. And so the question I ended with at the end 2 weeks ago was this: are we digging in? Are we getting into that treasure box of God's grace and receiving what it is that he's made available to each one of us that have come to know him as our personal Saviour? And so to continue on the subject of grace this morning, and it takes a slightly different turn this morning, but it's still the same amazing grace, the same abounding grace that's towards each one of us. We look back in time and we discover that grace was there at the beginning. Even before time began, grace was there. The treasure chest of grace is the very eternal heart of God. His heart has always been a treasure of grace. It's always been God's purpose and God's intention to open up this treasure chest of grace to mankind. And so grace was there in the beginning. And grace himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, was also there in the very beginning. And grace was at work creating everything that was needed to give God pleasure and to give God delight, and also for those who were to be the pinnacle of creation to enjoy, that you and me, mankind that God created there in the beginning. There's a hymn that speaks to me of this, and it's for the beauty of the earth, for the beauty of the skies, for the love which from our birth over and around us lies. Christ, our God, to thee we raise this our sacrifice of praise. For each perfect gift of thine, to our race so freely given, graces human and divine, flowers of earth and buds of heaven, Christ our God, to thee we raise this our sacrifice of praise. What that hymn is telling us is that everything that we have and that we see is God's providential grace towards mankind. And what grace? The things we enjoy every day, the beauty of everything that is around us, is God's grace to mankind, to you and me. And so Christ our God, to this we raise this our sacrifice of praise. We say, thank you, God, for your grace gifts to us. Thank you for the greatest gift of all, the Lord Jesus Christ. This our sacrifice of praise we raise as we give thanks from grateful hearts. But then straight after creation, we know what happened. And I believe that grace was at work in the garden as soon as Adam and Eve fell. Grace was at work. I believe that the punishment that God brought upon Adam and Eve was God's grace at work. It was to teach them a lesson. If God hadn't punished Adam and Eve, then Adam and Eve could have said, well, we can do what we like. But God's grace came and punished them to cause them to realize that there is a right way to go or a wrong way to go. And then we find that God gave the provision of animal skins to them. It says in the Word of God that immediately that they had done what they did, they were naked. They realized they were naked and they were embarrassed. They were ashamed of themselves. But God in his grace came and he provided them the animal skins to clothe them. That's God's grace. And then if we move on, God's grace has worked. Was at work with Noah as he prepared the ark. God had decided he was going to flood the earth. He was just going to destroy mankind from off the face of the earth. But it says there that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And so God's grace was at work. And instead of destroying every single man and woman, he chose to save Noah and his wife and his sons and his family. God's grace at work there in the flood. And God's grace was at work, and I could mention so many, but I'm just going to go for a few, in the life of Joseph. And we know the story. It was a story of ups and downs, wasn't it? It was a story where one minute Joseph was in a good place. And the next minute, Joseph was in a bad place. We know he was in a low place, in the pit. He was in a low place in the prison. But there were other times when he was in a much better place. And we find that God's grace was at work in the life of Joseph. And we can learn from Joseph's life that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called and are chosen. And we go through the good times, we go through the bad times, but in it all, God's grace is with us. God's grace is provided for us. And we know that because of his grace, all things work together for good to those who are called and are chosen. And God's grace was at work with Moses when he went down to Egypt and to the Pharaoh. God had seen the plight of the children of Israel. And they were suffering. They were slaves. And it was getting harder and it was getting harder and it was getting harder. And their cry was going out. And God heard their cry. And God's grace reached out to the children of Israel as he sent Moses down to bring their deliverance. And then as they left Egypt, God's grace was at work with them as they left Egypt and as they wandered in the wilderness and even when they entered into the promised land. There were times when they didn't deserve God's grace. They rebelled. They backslid. They were working against God and against his will and against his purpose. But God didn't give up on them. God's grace was with them in the wilderness and as they went into the promised land. And we could continue the theme through the whole of the Old Testament. We see from Genesis right through, we see that thread of redemption. God at work, doing what was necessary to bring back, to bring to pass his redemption. And that red thread that we see through the scriptures, it was God's grace at work. God's grace at work, coming in preparation to bring his grace to all mankind. So that if we believe, we will be saved. And so we come to the New Testament. And first of all, we see that grace was wrapped up in the womb of a lady called Mary. Isn't that an amazing thought? Grace was inside of the womb of a woman called Mary. And then when she gave birth, we find that grace was wrapped up in swaddling cloths in a manger. And then as he grew a little bit older, we find that grace was at work along the dusty roads of Judea and Galilee as grace himself began to minister to those touching the blind, touching the deaf, touching the dumb, healing all manner of diseases, delivering the oppressed, and even raising the dead. That was grace at work. Grace abounding, grace abundant, grace amazing, touching the hearts and lives of men, women, children, and families as he ministered to them according to whatever their needs were. And we find that grace was at work beside a well in Samaria. Grace was at work at the foot of a sycamore tree. Grace was at work in the midst of a mobbing crowd who were ready to throw stones at a woman who was caught in adultery. See, the woman in the well didn't deserve grace. She was living, she'd been in multiple marriages, she was in another marriage, she had to go to the well when nobody else was there because of the shamefulness of her life. But Jesus met with her and his grace met with her and he poured her grace. Zacchaeus again at the sycamore tree. Yay! Criminal, robbing more taxes than he should have done. We would say he didn't deserve grace, but Jesus called him down. And grace met with Zacchaeus at the foot of the tree and in his home, and his life was transformed. And then the woman that was caught in adultery, the Lord said that she should be killed with a throwing of stones, but grace stepped in. Grace stepped in. Isn't that amazing? Whatever the law says, grace says something different. Grace says something better. Grace says, I can change you. I can transform you. I can deliver you. So grace was at work in so many different places. But perhaps, and I'm reluctant to say this, but you'll understand why I'm putting this way. If we could grade grace, because I'm not really sure that we can, but if we could grade grace, perhaps the greatest evidence of grace was at work in the Garden of Gethsemane. Just picture that scene at this moment. Jesus going into the garden. He knows exactly what is lying ahead of him over the next few hours. And he's troubled. And who can blame him when he realizes the horror of what is lying ahead of him? And he gets on his knees and he calls out to his father, "Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me." But then grace kicks in. "Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." In that moment, grace was manifested in such a powerful way that Jesus surrendered himself to his Father's will 100%. "Whatever the horrors before me, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it." And grace was at work for the whole of the world. And grace continued to be evident as he was arrested and he was betrayed. And grace was at work every time he was spat upon. You imagine being spat upon by somebody else. How would your eye retaliate? But he retaliated with grace. Grace was at work. Grace was at work every time he was beaten or whipped, every time he was mocked and scoffed. And grace was at work when the cry went out above the crowd, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" You imagine how that must have felt. And suddenly the crowd wanted Barabbas released and Jesus to be crucified. But grace was there. And grace was at work when they thrust a crown of thorns upon his head. How awful that must have been. You know how bad it is if, you know, this last week I was cutting some of my dead head in some of the roses and I caught on with the one branch a little bit too hard and I got a thorn just in my finger. And that was bad enough. But a crown of thorns thrust, push hard upon your head. But grace was at work. Wow. Grace was at work as he trudged weary and worn and battered with a cross on his shoulder, making his way to the place of the skull. And grace was at work as they began to hammer the nails through his hands and his feet as they nailed him to that cruel cross for you and for me. And grace was at work as they lifted the cross and they allowed it to thud into the ground, jarring his body and racking his body with pain from all the injuries he'd so far received. And grace was at work as he hung there, being taunted by the onlookers as they passed by, being mocked by them as passed by, while at the same time our sin was placed upon him. And the punishment for our sin was placed upon him. And the wrath of God was placed upon him because of your sin. And because of my sin. And all the time, in all of that anguish, in all of that sorrow, and in all of that pain, grace, amazing grace, was at work. And grace was at work as the two by the side of him were taunting him and mocking him. And then suddenly one of them realized that actually this man must be who he said he was. And he cried out, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And grace was at work in the midst of all that pain when Jesus turned to him and said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." And then grace was at work when he cries out with that final breath, "It is finished." And grace was at work as he took his last breath. But thank God that grace was still at work when he lay in the empty tomb. Dead body. Grace was still at work. And thank God, should I say even more? But grace was at work as he rose triumphant on that third day of that wonderful resurrection morning. Grace. Amazing grace. And I could continue. Over 2,000 years since that resurrection morning, grace has been at work, touching lives, saving countless millions of men and women who have opened up the treasure chest of God's grace. And my testimony is that grace was at work as I sat in a little tin church 52 years ago, and I met with the Lord Jesus Christ, and His grace saved me, and His grace has kept me, and His grace is keeping me. And for you this morning, your testimony is the same as you look back to the day when grace found you. But then I've got to put a two-word question. Can you? Can you? To you that are gathered here in the church this morning, and to those that will be watching the video later on this day or during the week, can I ask you this question? Have you really met with grace Himself? Has grace touched you and ministered to your life? Have you come to that place where you can really say that your testimony truly is that you have been saved by grace? See, grace is available to everyone. It's available to the world because God loved the world and Jesus died for the world. Titus 2:11 says, "For the grace of God has appeared." And it's appeared in the person and in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. For grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. It's for all mankind, if all were willing to come and to receive. For the treasure box of His grace is open. Can I say it this way? It was unlocked at Calvary, and it had a cross-shaped key. Cross-shaped key. And to receive or to partake of the treasure, we need to come to Calvary. We need to come to grace Himself. We need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a song that I mentioned, I think it might have been in the ladies' meeting, I'm not sure, that I've been blessed with so much recently. And it's, "I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I'm just a sinner saved by grace." And I've heard folks say that, well, I'm not a sinner anymore because I've been saved by grace. So I'm a saint. I was a sinner, but I'm no longer a sinner. Well, I want to say this morning that I'm a sinner saved by grace. See, there is no such thing as sinless perfection. We still all sin. We all do something that we shouldn't do. But we are sinners who have been saved by grace. We are sinners who are being kept by His grace. And His grace is so great that when we do sin, for we all do sin, when we do sin, we can come and confess it before Him, and His blood cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Listen to what even Paul the Apostle said. The one who wrote the words that I've read from Ephesians chapter 2, was talking about the fact that grace has made us alive and grace has caused us to sit in heavenly places. And yet this is what he said in one of his epistles. He said, "Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost." Not I was, but I am the foremost. He knew that he was a sinner, but saved by grace. What about us this morning? To each one of you, to those that watch the video, can you say this morning that you are a sinner saved by grace? Do you know that you've come to Calvary where the treasure box has been opened? I mentioned the first time that when I began to prepare the thoughts, that I started to do some headings, and then it's some more headings, and then some more headings, and decided not to use them. But because we've got a little bit of time, I'll just tell you what those headings were, as I had originally put. First of all, the stages of grace. We're saved by grace. That hymn tells us, "Saved by grace alone, this is all my plea. Jesus died for all mankind. Jesus died for me." And then I stand in grace. The words of another song, "Here in the grace of God I stand." And then the surety of grace, Jude 24, "Unto Him who is able to keep you from falling." And then the second lot I wrote there was, "Saved by grace," Ephesians 2, "Kept by grace, where sin abounds, His grace abounds more, and my grace is sufficient for you." And then "Glorified by grace," that's a sermon on its own, which we'll look at one day, "Glorified by grace." We see all of that in 1 Corinthians 15, where we're going to receive a brand new resurrection glorified body, all because of his grace. Then, amazing grace, saved from my old sinful ways, abiding grace, saved while I pilgrim here, and absolute grace, saved in all of eternity. And then there was this one, which I'm going to look at sometime in the future. The person of grace is the Saviour. The provision of grace is to save. The position of grace, we're in Christ. The power of grace is to keep. And the permanence of grace is going to be through eternity. God's grace. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it wonderful? The grace of God towards each one of us. And then to close with a verse from Acts chapter 13 and verse 43. And after the meeting of the synagogue broke up, many Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who, as they spoke with them, and this is the phrase, urged them. Something about that word, urged them. It's a plea. It's something from their heart to the believers. They urged them to what? To continue. And to continue in what? To continue in the grace of God. Continue in the grace of God. I think that may be the cry of the hour. Today. If you've come to the cross, don't think that you're saved and you can do what you like. We need to commit our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to live for him. We need to surrender our hearts to him. We need to allow him to not just to be Savior, but be Lord as well. And that means giving up the world. Giving up the pleasures of the world, giving up the sinful activities of the world, and surrendering our all to him. I believe in the possibility of falling from grace. Somebody asked me 2 weeks ago after I'd spoke, do you believe once saved, always saved? My answer is no. I believe that once we've come to salvation, the call is there to persevere. Or as it is here in that verse, to continue in the grace of God. God can keep us, and God will keep us. But we need to be willing to be kept. May God help us. May God keep us. And may we learn to be found in that place that will keep going to the treasure box of his grace. Keep receiving. And as we keep receiving, keep growing, keep going, and keep knowing Jesus as our Lord and Saviour. And so, to finish off this morning, we're going to have that song. I'm just a sinner, saved by grace. I rejoice in God's grace that has met you and touched you. And while we're singing this song, we'll take up the offering. Thank you.
I know you would see.